See what I mean? Just so much talent. Just so much talent. It's such a wonderful blessing from the Lord that we have all this. And then we get to celebrate it all on Christmas too, on top of all that. That's just wonderful. I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 to 12 for our message tonight. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw a star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Let us give thanks for God's words. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you that that you always bring us your truth, especially when we worship you and celebrate what you have given us and what you have done for us. That you give us these reminders, that you give us a place that we can return to time and time again. For that we find here that your truth is steadfast. We find that your love is forever and never ending. And we find here the one who has saved us. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. 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 You know, on that note, I think it's been a struggle. I think it's been a struggle. And as I prepared for tonight, I started flipping through the scriptures, looking for, you know, that special one, the one that I was going to use for Christmas to make this one a little bit more special than the last one, because, you know, you always got to up your stuff a little bit, right? You got to upstage yourself just a little bit. You always have to do something spectacular, something better than you did it last year, you know, and as I was struggling with that, I started to realize that, well, when does it end? When does it end? I mean, not time. I know when that ends. I die and then I'm happy. Okay, I got that. But when does all that end? That we run into these things and we start to develop or make or create or try to find that one thing that just wows everybody. You know, the one thing that keeps everybody happy. Because that's very easy to do sometimes, right? But what I found was that I was falling into a routine. That it was becoming just a moment that passes by, that we give it the special attention. We certainly bring our hearts and our love to this moment. But in the end, it just passes by. And so come January 1st, we forget all about it because we have other things to worry about now, like losing weight, giving up bad habits. But then we wait for next fall, and certainly then again, when next Christmas rolls around and we fall back into the routine yet again. And I found that my routine was killing the moment. But what do you do? How do you change that? How do you break out from your own life? How do you break loose from the chains that are not only created by yourself, but the world around you? Certainly we know that we come in this moment as sinners in front of Christ, and as we come here to Him, we worship and praise Him in the things that He has done for us. And you see, and that's what I just landed upon, was that what we're missing is the why. That in our routines and in our habits, that we do these things and we start to not think about them, and after a while, the routine becomes the thing that we worship and not the why. And it's sad to say that I think that we're all like that. That we all have these moments that we just focus on our lives and we just get so caught up in these things that we forget. We forget why we're living life. We forget why we have life. And above all of that, we forget why we have salvation. We forget why Christ came into the world. I have no problem recognizing that I'm a sinner, and I have no problem recognizing that I'm unworthy of the gift that He brings to us on the day that He was born. Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, because it was condemned already, but He came into the world to save us. That this is a great joy. That this is a great moment when this baby is born. And it goes beyond any other birth. I mean, I'm assuming that all of us here have been born. I think if we took a survey, everybody would say, if I said, were you ever born? You would have to say yes. And that moment was surely special, and that moment was surely something that really changed somebody's life, if not just your own, your parents. But when we look at Jesus, do we see Him in the same way? Do we see what He has done as a routine? As if He was one baby born among thousands, if not millions. That as we see that His birth, do we remember why it carries a special connotation, a special meaning? That you see, Jesus brings us the understanding of why. And I tell you, that one little word has meant so much in my life. You can tell me to do something, and I can do it, and I can put my whole heart into it. But when the moment comes, you know, where you run into your first confrontation and you move forward or you don't move forward, the one thing that always comes to mind is why? Why should I? I know sometimes we say, what's in it for me? That's another question. That comes after why. But oftentimes, why is the one that either inspires us to move on or helps us just to stop. And so that's why I chose this scripture finally, that as we come to look at this, that I was really interested in the Magi, and we're going to talk a little bit about them. We're going to kind of just converse about that a little bit. But as we look at our scripture here, or we review what we have just read, that the one thing that I find in the routine that has really kind of become very difficult is that in the why, we have lost the truth. We've lost the truth of what we do here on this night and that we celebrate. We've lost the understanding that this is about truth, that this is about salvation. And certainly when it's about other things, it becomes very boring. You know, because we're trying to up ourselves just a little bit more. You know, and I believe that tonight as we look here at the Magi, that the position that I'm going to take with you and that I want to kind of put forth out there for you is this. We need more truth. Because we have way too much marketing. We need more truth and less marketing about Jesus Christ and the day off that He brings us. Because that's not why He was born. He wasn't born so we could have a day off. He wasn't even born so that we could have a celebration of Christmas and gifts and trees and family time. I know that probably makes me a heretic, but I'm okay with that. Because as we stand with Jesus Christ and we look at His truth, then we have to understand why we do. Because of what it meant. Because of what it does in our lives. Because it has the true meaning in our lives. That we try to understand who we are We're constantly in search of our identity. We're constantly in search of the things that we can't create, but the things that we always want. But only God has them. Only Jesus has them. So I want to point out a couple things here before we finish this off in the message itself. I want to look at, you know, the things that we have traditionally spoke about Jesus Christ and his birth and the nativity and all the things that come with that. And hopefully as I bring you there, it'll just draw you some moments where you can think about it. Now please don't get me wrong. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you to go out there and ignore Christmas, okay? Go celebrate, have a good time with your family. Be safe. Be careful. Have a good time, but just remember why we have those moments and why we were allowed that moment. So here's the first thing I want to point out. That we see here these three kings, these three magi who come. And Matthew tells us that they came from the east. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about the history, but first I want to point out some of the things that they encountered when they came. So they come looking for Jesus. And so as they find Jesus, the picture that we have, the image that we have is that these three men, these wise men, and some interpretations is that the wise men, the magi, that what we find out is that they come and they sit at the manger. They gather at the manger. So we have this picturesque scene with the shepherds, you know, Jesus and his mom Mary and his dad Joseph. You know, they're all there. God, of course, his real father is present in the mix. You know, there's always the shining light down on that. And then we look, we kind of draw back a little bit from the scene and we see the shepherds and then we see the kings. There's always got to be a camel, you know, somewhere. And I tell you, you know, if I ever find a nativity that doesn't have a donkey, I'm going to find a donkey and put it in the nativity. There's got to be a donkey, okay? That's a personal thing I have. So if your nativity doesn't have a donkey and you're going to show it to me, it's going to get a donkey. And if you're fortunate, it won't be a live one. But we see this manger scene, this nativity. But as we find in our scripture here, that's not where they visited Jesus. They visited Jesus at a house. They came to the house to see Jesus. They came there where Mary and Joseph by now have moved Jesus to a house. They moved him out of the squalor and they put him in a place that they could care for him. And so they come to the house. Now, as they come to the house, what we find, and we can identify this in a little bit in some of the scripture that comes after the scripture that we read, was that at some point, Herod becomes very upset with it all, and he goes out to look to have all the children who are 2 years and younger killed. So here's what we find from that, is that Jesus could have been as old as 2 years old when the Magi came. All right, so how is your manger scene doing so far? So we have a separation of 2 years. So to have that scene where we have the shepherds and the three wise men, the magi there with them, then what we have to do is we have to, Jesus is born in the manger, they got to be there for 2 years. And so they sit there for 2 years. Or we move them to the house because they're really tired of living in that manger. And so they move to a house, and then that's where everybody sees them. So now the Magi themselves, that we have often referred to them as the three kings from Orient R or something like that, the song goes, right? You know, and so, and I know you thought I was going to sing that, but that's not happening. But so we have we three kings. Well, why are they kings? In fact, there are times that sometimes we've even named them as Gaspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, sometimes called Balthazar. As if we knew the difference, right? But we even have given them names. We've identified these three kings as they come to see Jesus. Well, where did they become kings? Now, truthfully, and very, I think, respectfully, we should understand that whether this is a mistake or kind of a misleading thing, that Scripture itself has at one time identified that kings from afar would come and worship the child, that they would come and rather worship the King of the Jews. That this Messiah, this Savior, that they would come. And so some people are just kind of, and I think rightfully and okay, you know, they've assumed that maybe that these are the three kings. Now, they never identify themselves as kings. They identify themselves as magi. Well, what's a magi? Well, a magi is nothing more than a learned man. In fact, as we see the word magi, it's a plural noun. So there could be two or more. The reason that they think there's three is because there was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And three camels and a couple of donkeys. So that means three people. Not really. Come on, I'm making that up. But you see how it works? You see how it works? That when we start to look at these things and we start to see some kind of common sense in them, and say, well, he said so, it must be true. Well, if that's the case, we're going to pass the plate and have something else to say that's true. But as we look at these magi, these three kings, these three wise men, and I think we need to take just a moment to find out who they really are. We are told that they are men who came from the east. They came from a place called Persia. And as they came out of Persia, and these learned men, that they believe that it's possible that they were some kind of in a knowledge kind of thing, like academic or scientific. You know, so they were astrologists at best, because they were staring at the stars. So we think maybe that they were astrologists of some sort, that they watched the things of the skies and of the heavens. But as they came, though, whether it was two or three or four, however many, where it was that came, that as they came, whether they came from Persia. So this is what this means about them, is that they are Gentiles. That they're Gentiles. In other words, they're not people born of the Jewish nation. That this Christ, who first came to the Jew and then would later come to the Gentile, these Gentiles knew about him first. And so as they knew about his coming, they travel from Persia, maybe the some estimates all the way up to about 900 miles. However they got there, whether it was by horse or camel, we're not told. But they traveled this far distance to follow this star that they have seen, that they believed that predicts or foretells the coming of the king. And so they follow that. So they give themselves. So we know that these are men who have read scripture and they believe it. These Gentiles, these Persians. Now, how do they get the scripture way out over there? Well, you see, you remember there is this time that the Jews were scattered by God. That God had put them into slavery at the hands of the Babylonians, the Assyrians, and then finally the Persians. And so as God had scattered his people out and they had taken them and as slaves, they met a guy named Daniel. And this guy named Daniel, he knew a lot about things that were going to take place in their future. And so as he laid out his teaching and timeline on when the Messiah would come and how they would know. Later, this was incorporated into their book of laws and into a book that is called Numbers. And when they brought that in, they identified that a star would shine over Jacob at the coming of the king, at the coming of the shepherd. And so these men, who are Gentiles, who are now living amongst slaves who are Jews, who have given up on their own faith and on their own word, they come to see this king. These men who are stirred by this truth that God has given them. So we know that they were learned. We know that they knew the scriptures and they believed it. And we know that whatever touched their heart caused them to travel a long way. That they did not sit still, but they acted upon it. Why? Doesn't that come to your mind? Why? Why would they do such a thing? Why would they do that? What's in them? What motivates them? What causes them to do that? And especially when we look at another figure in these words, Herod. Now, I think the basic description that I can give you of Herod, the basic theological breakdown of Herod, is that he's a jerk. He's hateful. He's spiteful. He's worried about something. Because you see, Herod, of all things, knows that this Christ, this king, this Messiah, would come from the line of David. Guess what Herod is not? He's not of the line of David. So to him, this whole thing poses a big risk. This is why he commands later that all the children who are 2 years younger to be killed. That's a pretty awful thing, don't you think? It would only take a jerk to do that. And I know that's not real scientific, but how else do you explain that? That this guy with this hatred that's built up inside of him, that this child is born, that he sees this child as a threat. Now notice, when these two people come together, the Magi and Herod, when they come together, when the Magi come into town and they come to Herod, and they ask Herod, because they followed the star, they've been following the star, now they're in Jerusalem. And the first place they stop is at Herod's, or he's called them to them. And they say, well, how do we find this Christ child? How do we find this child who would be born a king? And Herod doesn't know. Herod's a Jew. These are his books. This is his study. He's the king. You think there would be a certain expectation of this guy. But he doesn't know. He's got to call together these priests and these leaders of the church. And notice that as he calls them together, that that he doesn't go through the leadership of the city, the community, which would be the Sanhedrin. You know, kind of like our town council. But rather what he does is he just calls them individually. He says, tell me, where do we find this Jesus? Or where do we find this king? So they have to tell him. Because he doesn't know. And he should. And so then he goes and he tells the Magi, oh, guess what? I know where he's at. And so he tells them, Bethlehem in Judea. That's where you'll find him. Now another, I guess, moving part of these verses that we need to take a look at is the star. What about the star? I love that part about the star. You know, because there's so much that we throw at that in scientific terms. Well, you know, it could have been a supernova. Maybe they saw a supernova. But you know, it moved around a little bit. They followed it. It led them. I say, well, maybe it was an alignment of the stars, and as they crossed over something, you know, maybe an alignment of some of the planets, and as they got together, it was a real bright light out there in the sky, and there was these stars. Although none of those match up. And to say that they do is really kind of just to force what's really out there. But I think that the star is one of the things that we have to attribute to this. It's a miracle. Now, maybe it was an angel. Maybe there's an angel there that leads them into that, and it looks like a star. Sure, okay. Maybe it's the Shekinah, the glory of God. Okay, fine. It's the glory of God shining, that God leads them there. You know, God did lead the Jewish people, you know, out of captivity with a cloud of fire at night and a cloud during the day. That he led them in these ways. So certainly this is something that he can do and that he has done. And that as we look at this and we say to ourselves, what is this star? This star is a miracle. Now notice in here what the star is called. It's not called the Star of Bethlehem. It's not called the Star of David. It's called his star. Jesus. It's his star. So I think the thing that I find that we have for us tonight is the journey that the wise men took, that the Magi took, that they came all this way. So here's what we find, is that in their understanding, they become aware. They are aware of this king that is about to be born. So then they seek this king. They go hundreds of miles to find him. And that when they find him then, they worship him. They throw themselves onto the ground. They bow down to Jesus, King of Kings. These men submit themselves to this child. I think that that's a miracle. I think that that's a miracle. Can you imagine somebody's taking you into a house and they stand you in front of a child 2 years or younger? And they say, this is your king. Bow down and pray and worship to your king. And what do you think we would say? No way. Matter of fact, you tell that child to hang up my coat and my hat. But yet they were brought to this child. And they gave themselves. Now, here's the thing that I think is key for us tonight. Is that when they came to this child, and they worshiped this child, they finally find him, they go through all this, they finally find the child, they worship this child. They leave. And God gives them this warning. God says in a dream to one of them or all of them, we don't know, don't go back to Herod. And so what did they do? They obey God. These Gentiles, these Persians, these people who have enslaved the Jews, they find from their knowledge base, they find this understanding that there's this Christ, that there's this Messiah who's coming who will be king. He'll be born under this star. And so guess what? It just so happens these guys who look at stars all the time, they see this star. And they follow it. And they say, well, how far do you think we have to go? I don't know, maybe 10, 15 miles. No, 900 miles. And they will not give up. And they follow and they go and they find this child finally. They see this child and they give him the gifts of kings, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then they leave there and God says this to them. God gives them this message and they obey God and not man. This is the life of those who journey to know Jesus Christ. This is the progression and the path that we take when we come to find Him. We become aware of Him. And either we fight that or we seek Him. And if you seek Him, you will find Him. But you must understand that it's a long journey. And as we look at it, we build up these routines and these journeys and we start to wonder, maybe there's something else. Maybe we should do something else. Maybe there's a better truth out there than this truth. We become bored with the routine. We become frustrated with the routine. Until we stop and give consideration to the why. Because we were condemned. And Christ came so that we could be saved. And it started with a baby so that you would bow down and that you would listen. So where are you at on your journey, loved ones? Where are you at in finding Christ? And for those of you who know Jesus Christ and you're still on the journey, we will be on the journey until He comes back or He calls us home. Are you bored? Do we need to ramp this up a little bit? Maybe we need to talk to some marketing people and kind of find a fancier way to put Jesus' name out there. Or do we just need to look to the child, to the face of God, His truth, and bow down and worship the King? It's a very simple thing. It's just really hard to do. It's a very simple thing. We are just the complicated part. You see, I have no routine that I should ever be bored of in Jesus Christ because He placed me in amongst a family of believers who are willing to go the journey. So they encourage me. They help me to bow down to the Lord who saved me. And I hope you rejoice over that this Christmas. And I know you thought I was going to talk about Santa Claus. It's like, oh no, please don't talk about Santa Claus. Please don't talk about Santa Claus. Let me tell you something. Santa Claus, you don't mess with Santa Claus. So, is that naughty or nice thing? You got to make a choice. Father, I just thank You so much for what You do for us. I thank You, Lord, that You continue to bless us in Your presence and bless us in the presence of Your loved ones. Lord, I pray for all of those here tonight and ask that You just be with them and help them to think on Your truth. Help them to contemplate this, Lord, that it begins with an awareness. Something moves us inside that we would come and sit in a house that You built. Something moves us to be a little closer to You, to seek You out, to follow the star that is Your Son, our Lord. So, Father, for all of them, then I would ask that You would bless them with Your appearance, with Your presence. Help them to know, Lord, that we are all on this journey together. That You are the confidence. That You are the encouragement. That You're the inspiration. That You're the one who draws us near. Even when the world tries to pull us apart. Help us to be steadfast and to always bow down and worship You and You alone. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
If you'd light up your candles, you know, kind of a, we're going to sing Silent Night. Kind of a, it's actually, it's a very interesting story, how Silent Night came into be, and I'm not going to tell it all to you, but I would encourage you to Google it, because it is interesting, but the bottom line of it is, when Silent Night was originally sung, it was sung on a guitar. That's all I'll tell you about it. But that's kind of like, that's sort of our tradition here at Faith Bible Church, is we like to close out our Christmas Eve service with all of us just singing Silent Night together with a candle. So let's stand together, if you would, and let's sing Silent Night together. Let's pray for a dismiss. Father, this evening we came here for the sole purpose of celebrating the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to worship Him. And so we thank you, Lord, that you've made that a possibility for us right here in Little Genesee. I know there's so many places that just don't get to worship you, and you bless us. So we praise you for that. Lord, tonight I want to thank you so much that you loved me to the point where you sent your only Son. And Jesus, I praise you and thank you tonight that you did that just willingly, flat out because you loved me. Lord, we can't thank you enough and we can't praise you enough, except that I just pray you would accept our worship and our praise to you tonight. And Lord, I'd be amiss if I didn't just mention this. Dear Jesus, if there's one person here tonight that doesn't know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior, I pray your Holy Spirit would speak to that individual tonight. Lord, I pray that this would be that individual's new birthday. Lord, we praise you and thank you and we love you and We give you all this thanks through Jesus Christ. Amen. Merry Christmas.